Good afternoon. How are you? Are listening to Perceptions? It is me, Rona, calling with you until 4:30. Hope you're well. Hope you're in great form and that you had an absolutely fantastic bank holiday weekend and had lots of Easter eggs and no doubt had an overdose of Easter eggs at this point and had a very, very enjoyable weekend indeed. You are listening to Perceptions, as I say, on your FM. If you do want to get in contact with us, as always, our text line is available on 087-6944-500. Again, that's 087-6944-500. Great guests on the programme today. In just a couple of moments, I've got Frank Larkin, who is the chairman of the Spina Bifida Association, and he's going to be talking to me about the workings of the Spina Bifida Association and his role within the organisation as well. And later on in the programme, we've got Aaron Abbey, who is a member of Greater Dublin Independent Living and has just recently got his own apartment, and he's going to be talking to me about the trials and tribulations of living on his own independently in his own place, which would be very interesting indeed. And looking forward to chatting to Aaron just a little later on in the programme. Well, joining me now by phone, I have Frank Larkin, who is the chairman of the Spina Bifida Association. From one great man of Jack L to Frank Larkin, who's also another great man indeed. Hiya, Frank.
How you doing, Rona?
See that lovely introduction I gave you? Isn't that
absolutely
amazing?
Absolutely, thanks very much for that.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good, good, good. Look, Frank, you're just recently, in the last couple of months, in your new post as chairman of the Spina Bifida Association. First of all, tell me a little bit about the Spina Bifida Association and when it started and formed.
Well, the Spina Bifida Association, you know, it's in place a long, long time, and it supports people in the 60s, really. Mm. And it supports people with spina bifida and hydrocephalus, and also their family. And, you know, it would support their families through their family support worker service.
Mm. And so congratulations to you. You've recently just become in the role of the chairman of the Spina Bifida and Hydrocephalus Association. So tell me a little bit about the role that you play. Frank?
Well, the role that I play, I mean, I'm the chairperson of the board, and the board oversees the work of the organisation, you know. So it means a lot of meetings, a lot of, you know, working to try and improve services, as you're well aware, Rona. You know, I suppose over the last couple of years, particularly with, you know, the recession and things like that, there's a lot of things that have hit people with disabilities and people with spina bifida, and I include in that. Mm. You know, there's a lot of cuts that have been made that directly affect them. And I suppose it's just trying to work within, you know, you're trying to do more with less, really.
Yeah, as you've mentioned yourself there, that you have spina bifida yourself, as do I myself. And do you think that is more of an advantage for you, Frank, because you have spina bifida yourself and you know a little bit more about the condition?
I would certainly hope so, Rona. You know, being the first person with the condition to have the position, I think, you know, you have a better understanding. I would certainly hope that I would have a good understanding of the needs and the wants and the difficulties that people have, and to be able to support that and to be able to help them, you know, throughout the issues that they might have within my role in the organisation.
Throughout, from my understanding of the spina bifida growing up, it was always really, for me, about meetings. And so therefore, growing up for me, it wasn't a really integral part of my growing up or my experience of support. How has that changed, Frank, do you think? I mean, it's very proactive now.
They're doing absolutely fantastic work, you know. Mm. I mean, like, as I say, you have family support workers throughout the country now. There's I suppose, for the size of the country, there's a small number of family support workers, but that's, again, because of budget constraints and one thing and another. Mm. And, you know, the role of the family support worker is so broad, Rona, it's very hard to even define it. You know, they could help people in terms of, you know, whether it be form filling or, you know, entitlements and all that kind of thing, right up to continence issues or issues regarding, you know, if they have financial problems or, like, I'm only touching on a couple of things. Literally, the role could mean something different every single day of the week and every single client that they go to, you
Exactly, because as you so nicely have said, and it's true, I've said it many times in this programme, it's not a one size fits all. It's not like every person with spina bifida has exactly the same needs, wants and requirements. It's very much an individual thing that you're trying to tailor make for the person themselves and their family.
That's it. And as I say, like that's why it would even be very difficult for a family support worker themselves to probably even explain to you what their role is. Because I would imagine that every day they go into work, possibly a new issue comes up that they've never even, you know, experienced or envisaged or come up previous to that.
And so, Frank, how many branches of the Spina Bifida Association are there around the country?
There's branches all over the country, Rona, you know, but some of those would take in more than one county, you know. So, you know, the number just escapes me now at the moment.
No, that's fine. And so, therefore, there are many different pockets of places that you can connect with somebody in the Spina Bifida Association and the organisation. And if you're thinking that, you know, it's not going to be something that can help me or support me, as you've listed, you know, you can get advice around financial issues, you can get advice around personal care issues, you can get advice around supporting family, and you can get support for yourself as a person with a disability, as you said, filling out forms and other requirements that you may have. And, of course, not one size fits all, as you said already. How's the feeling to be in this new post, Frank? How's the feeling for you on a personal note?
It's fantastic, Rona, and it's really exciting times, you know, as well, because over the last, I would say, couple of years, they've worked towards also, like, one of the words that we've used quite a bit in this interview already is support. One of the things that they've done is they've set up, like, a peer-to-peer support program, you know, and it's at a pilot stage at the minute, you know. There's a pilot scheme running in a couple of different areas, so that's something that's really, really important and something that's going to help the organisation to move forward, because the main drivers of that there are people obviously with the condition themselves supporting other people who have the condition, and it's just sort of like sharing, you know, experiences of like, oh well, how did you do such and such a thing, or how did you you know, whenever you came up against such an obstacle, how did you deal with it? And it's people who have already lived it giving support to people coming behind them, you know what I mean.
And one-to-one peer support is very, very important. It's something that we're doing in Greater Dublin Independent Living ourselves, and it is very important. I mean, nobody knows the experience of somebody else, like somebody who's a little bit further down the road than them on
That's
their
right.
journey.
And that goes back basically to what you were saying earlier in the interview about, you know, me as national chairperson now, somebody with the condition, it's like nobody knows better themselves than somebody who's actually lived it.
And so what up and coming events and programmes do you have that are up and coming, Frank?
Well, rather than up and coming, they're ongoing, you know. I mean, well, I suppose up and coming, you have the summer project that happens for different age groups at the national headquarters, you know, that happens for different age groups on different various weeks over the summer months, you know. And like, again, it's what I was going back to saying about the family support workers in relation to the summer project. There's so many different diverse things that are happening on those weeks that I couldn't even, you know, like there'll be sports activities, there's entertainment, there's everything, you know. That's a great opportunity for people to meet. And also, on that, there would be a lot of young people who would be volunteers working with the groups, you
Excellent.
Know. So it's a great opportunity for young people to volunteer and learn about spina bifida and hydrocephalus as well.
So for anybody who's interested in getting involved, whether it being as a person with spina bifida themselves or a family member that needs some more information on supporting their family member with spina bifida, or somebody who's interested in volunteering, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Well, there's two ways, I suppose. I mean, you can contact our national head office, which is in Clondalkin in Dublin, and I can give you the number and for that, and I could also give you our website, Rona.
Yeah, that would be great. And
the phone number for the national resource center, for the sorry for the headquarters in Clondalkin is 01. It's 457.
Yep.
2329.
So that's 01-457-2329.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And the website for Spina Bifida Hydrocephalus Ireland is just www.sbhi.ie.
Right. So it's www.sbhi.ie.
Yep.
Fantastic. I mean, that's very easy. So it sounds like there's an awful lot of activity going on. It's very, very alive, well and kicking and moving forward with the times. And really, as you say, it's quite difficult to meet the needs of everybody and try and support everybody in lots of different ways, especially in our current climate. But you seem like you're doing quite a good job of doing that at the moment.
Well, we're doing our best, you know, and I mean, given the resources that are available in the current climate, it's always difficult, but I mean, you can only be as good as the people that you have, and you know, I think we've got a fantastic group of people working for us,
yeah.
And that's both the volunteers, you know, like the likes of the board would be all volunteers, and then obviously you have your staff on the ground as well.
Mm.
Fantastic job they're doing.
That's fantastic. Frank, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me this afternoon. It's always great talking to you. And
no problem, Rona. Thanks very much, and likewise. And it's great to get the opportunity to put the to talk about the work of the organisation.
Absolutely. And listen, if there's anything up and coming events that you want to promote or want to chat to me about in the future, do let me know, and we'll be happy to publicise it for you. All right, Frank.
Thanks a million, Rona.
Take care.
Thank
now.
You.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
And that was Frank Larkin there, the chairman of the Spina Bifida Association. Very, very nice guy indeed. And if you do want to get involved with the Spina Bifida as a volunteer, or you might be a person with Spina Bifida yourself. I have Spina Bifida also. And as the organisation has moved forward, it's definitely supplying more needs and demands of the people with Spina Bifida that it's supporting. The contact number there is 01-457-2329. That's 01-457-2329. Or you can contact them at www.sphi.ie. Brilliant organisation. Great guy heading it up as well with the chairman, Frank Larkin. Good guy indeed. And yeah, there are the details for them again. 01-457-2329. Anyway, as if by great magic, Aaron Abbey has joined me in the studio. Hi, Aaron. How are you doing?
Hi, Ron. How are you?
Are you good?
I am.
Thank you very much.
Eventually got here.
Eventually got here. You did indeed. Come here. Thanks for taking the trouble to come here in the first place.
You're very welcome.
Trains, planes and automobiles. It's
exactly.
Transportation issues for everybody today, I think. How are you doing, Aaron? You're all well?
I am very well.
Good, good. So we're talking about living independently, as in the sense that you have your own place. Of course, independent
yes.
living means different things to different people.
Yes.
But for you, you got your own apartment. But we're going to go back to 3 years ago.
Okay.
And when you were living in the IWA apartments
yes.
over in Clontarf. So tell me a little bit about when that all began 3 years
okay.
ago.
Okay. Well, it all started, I would say, when when I was kind of, Mum was kind of saying to me, Aaron, would you like to move out? And I was coming on horn where they would like to. And then I went to a hosting conference
right.
that Greater Dublin, the CGIL ran
right.
before your time back in 09 in the Beckley Court Hotel. And I heard the vicar that most young disabled people still live at home.
Mm.
And that kind of put my, and that kind of scared me. And I was adamant after I heard that. And I said, and I said, look, that's definitely not going to be me.
Mm.
And I just basically turned around and said to the, said to one of the staff members, look, I'm in that quote, help.
Okay.
That's my exact words, help, sure.
Yeah, well, and that was the right thing
yeah.
to do. You just needed to get the support and reach out to somebody
yeah.
at that point. And that was 2009.
Yes.
And so tell me about then when you moved into the independent living apartments
and
in IWA.
And then I applied to go out there And the mainly, what mainly stopped me was going moving in, for moving in straight away. I hadn't got a PA. But it was good. It was good for the time being. And don't get me wrong, I had a good time out there. But afterward, I wanted my own place.
Well, of course you wanted your own independence. Yes.
Even though it was kind of independent settings then.
Yes.
But it was on the north side. And I don't think you'd understand the thing from Cork. Or maybe you have a bit in Cork. I'm a Southsider.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, as I said to my cousins and my friends, it's kind of, I was a real fist of the water.
No, do you know what, Aaron? You're making me smile already, because that does exist in Cork as well. It's the north side. Yeah, it does, yeah. The north side, south side thing. When you're used to one side of the city, that's what you're used to. So therefore, that's kind of where you'd like to stay. It's your surroundings, so that makes perfect sense.
And I was new, I'm a lot newer to my family.
Well, and that's, it's important to have your network around you when it needs to be. Yeah.
Well, as someone said to me, well, how will you find you being near your family? I said, you never know. I'll probably be banging down your door in a couple of months' time wanting to move back. But so far, that hasn't happened.
Well, you see, that's good. That's great. But I'm going to take you back a small little bit to the IWA and when you were living there for the 3 years and the build-up to getting your own place. So let's go back to that. Let's go back to when you started living in the independent living setting in the Irish Wheelchair Association. Yes. How was that experience?
And that was a good experience. It was a good experience, like, as someone said to me, kind of having your own, as you said, having two people, it's great experience. One day, it was a very good experience, like, we coming home from work and getting off the bus and coming home. And coming home and locking your own front door and making your own dinner.
And just to be able to do your own thing.
Yeah.
Yet it's nice to have the setting on the with the Irish Wheelchair Association where it is, because there is support there if you need it. Give me an idea of the layout and the setup that's there.
Okay.
Aaron.
Well, just not so much the departments I was in were independent departments.
Mm.
Although there was a kind of caretaker stroke. He's a gym instructor living on site, but.
But so there really isn't support there unless you really need it.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were in that setting for the 3 years.
Well, yeah, there's no one like, no, and it was anything like a living help or anything.
Right.
You were on your own.
Okay, so but it was this, in the sense that it was, you were living, there were other people around in case there was something that happened though.
No, not strictly speaking.
There wasn't.
No, there's no, like, they weren't on call, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't mean that they were on call, but, I mean, there were people around if you needed to call somebody, an emergency situation.
If there's a fire or something, I could ring him or something.
Yeah, if there was a problem or something. You weren't isolated all by yourself.
No.
There were other people around.
Yes.
So so you were living in that setting for 3 years, and so that was an interesting and growing experience, I have no doubt.
Yes.
And so what happened then to make you decide that you kind of wanted your own place, your own spot?
Well, after a year and a half, the transitional apartments.
Yeah, they are transitional.
Yeah, so into your own place. So after a year, they kind of get you looking at on the council housing list and that. Get you applying for other accommodation.
Right.
Be it to help you whatever you need. Be it into being moved back home or wherever.
Well, whatever suits you, I suppose.
Yeah, whatever suits the individual.
And so, as you say, it is transitional accommodation and they're there to support you to move on to the next phase, yes, and whatever that is for you. Do you think it was a useful experience,
I
Aaron?
I do, yes. Overall, it was useful. I know looking back now, I probably kind of enjoyed moving out there, but overall, it was a useful experience.
Mm. And did you say you were dreading moving out of there?
No, I wasn't dreading moving there.
Really?
But I have to kind of look at the positive aspects of it.
Why were you dreading moving there, Aaron? In the first place,
I wasn't dreading moving there. I was dreading being there at times.
Why?
At times, like I don't know, just kind of atmosphere of the place. So I didn't get on with a lot. Some of the neighbours, like...
Mm. I think that can happen. That can happen in any setting that you're in, regardless. So I suppose it teaches you then also about dealing with conflict and dealing with neighbours that you might necessarily agree with all the time and about different personality types, which is always a very important role. And so then you ended up applying, as you say, for your own place. And tell me about that process.
Well, I was already on the South Dublin housing list.
Mm.
And so that was so, and I hadn't to go there. But I was already on South Dublin. And then they really wanted to give me a bungalow, which wasn't suitable. And then I got a phone call after a while and they told me they had these apartments in Glendalkin.
Mm-hmm.
Which I went and said, okay, I'll have a look at, and I basically fell in love with them.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
And that was a bit of illegal messing with the building. I wasn't able to move in for ages.
Yeah. So there were...
And a load of false starts and that one.
Okay, so there was a lot of false starts, as you said yourself. Yeah. But eventually...
Eventually, I'm there. That's where I came from today.
And how long are you there now, Aaron?
I'm there since November last year.
And how's it going?
Great.
Yeah. What do you like? What do you like about having your own place?
I just like having my own place, my own. I wouldn't say I like my own company, but after all, can't guess me. I like just do my own thing.
Mm.
No one to tell me what to do.
Mm. And so therefore, with living in IWA first, in the supported living, you probably would have picked up some skills that you had to develop, because as you say, you're on your own, so you have to be able to do some cooking.
Yeah, it got me more used to using the bus.
Mm.
And, like, I wasn't that familiar with it. I would say I used it, but I wasn't using it as much as I did.
Okay.
When you lived out in Clontarf.
So therefore that was a big change.
Yeah, it got me used to the bus routes.
What other big changes were there for you?
I started using the gym hotel.
Mm.
None was exactly a big changes. I would just say the bus and that.
Really?
Yeah.
And so living on in your own apartment, I mean, cooking and tidying up and all that kind of good thing, how's that going?
It's been grand.
Yeah, yeah. And would that have been a big change from when you were living at home?
I jokingly said to my mum, and when my auntie was there, I said, I'm finding more money in my pocket now than I'm doing my own washing. I said in front of my mum, like, 26.
Yeah, I know, 26.
And my mum turned around and said, yeah, well, it's never any money in your pocket than I'm doing your washing.
If somebody listening to us now, and Aaron is at home, and they're a person with a disability like yourself and myself, and they're thinking about doing the whole independent living thing, as in getting their own place, what advice would you give them? They're living at home now. They're not living anywhere else. They're just living at home.
Yeah, if they're living at home and they want to get advice, I don't know if they can find the names or not. Ring out the Wheels Association.
Yeah,
and speak to the independent living coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll probably kill me, but he'll be more than happy to speak to you.
And so how long would the waiting list be, do you
the
think?
The waiting list, I don't know offhand, but I know there is a amount is a amount a good waiting list?
Like before you moved into the Irish Wheelchair Association.
Oh, there was about a year waiting list.
A year.
Originally, I should say, I was taken in for a 2-week trial.
Okay.
And then they just kept on extending the trial.
Oh, right.
Because they went to them and said, look, I'll look for here. I need something extending the trial.
Okay, so...
That's going into a lease.
So in the initial stages, you go in and you do a 2-week trial, and then it gets extended and extended.
Yeah, the first week they send you home on weekends.
Okay.
Because the rest of the day centre is closed. There's basically no staff around if anything happens.
Okay.
So and then if they
therefore if anything happens to you, there's no staff around to support you.
No. So that's the only downside about it. A lot of people don't like.
Okay.
So midweek. Loneliness.
Midweek when you're there, there is staff there to support you if needs be.
Well, yeah, I would say kind of. I don't need to say there is inaccessible people is and it turns out it's not.
Mm.
There's not staff, but if I really need, I suppose you could ring someone.
So
once I rang one of the staff and was over there and said, look, can you come over to me? Why? Because my double top is caught in my wheel.
Yeah, yeah. So if you get stuck, it's handy that somebody's around. So therefore, when you began, there was the 2-week trial, and then it got extended and then turned into your lease. Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And so you were waiting about a year.
Yes.
So the first thing you would say to people who are interested is contact the IWA and maybe contact an independent living coordinator.
In the IWA,
yeah. And so then, what other pieces of advice would you give them if they are interested in then carrying on and applying?
And then if you get, you're looking if to get one of the apartments, to have all sorts of people living there. They've one apartment I know for living PAs.
Mm.
And it's overnight PAs, like.
Mm.
And I would say, after a while, after about 6 months or so, you meet the housing. God, what's the place? The girl who looks after the housing, I forget her title.
Okay.
I know her name, but I forget her
title. And so I think it's also...
She helps get on the housing list.
And so therefore...
And give the fight on that end.
It's very important to say to, for anybody listening, because Aaron is saying the word PA, that means personal assistant. That means personal assistant hours for people with disabilities that need support. A PA service is a personal assistant. And of course, that's a vital service as well that independent living does provide too. So if people are interested then getting their own place and getting on housing lists and whatever, that can be a long process, as you said. Any regrets? Or has it all been kind of brilliant?
No, it's all been kind of good, really.
Excellent. And so, moving forward, what's the plan? How's the decorating going and all the cooking?
The decorating's going great. I have all the... That took about a week to get... Actually, I remember I said...
A week? That's impressive.
Yeah, I know. I move fast. I remember When I went to buy my white goods, my sister left me washing machine at that in Power City. I gave the sales assistant my address to deliver the stuff to.
So when you got your goods from the stores that you went to,
yes.
You were able to give them your contact details, and of course they were able to deliver everything.
Yes.
But doing it all in a week is impressive, Aaron.
And thank you. But I was going to go and say, and
so that's impressive to do it all in one week. So what's the plan now moving forward? What would you like to do next now that you've achieved?
I'd like to get a job, like get some income coming in. And I've been told different things. Maybe I could do different things. Yeah, I'd like to get a job, I'd like to get a job and start getting some income so I can probably pay for the place.
Yeah. But I mean, really, to be fair, you're doing great guns since November.
Yeah.
I mean, moving into your own place is a big achievement from the guy who, in 2009, hadn't even thought about living independently and said to the woman, please help me and give me the information. Yeah. And 2014, you're in your own place.
Yeah.
So that's a serious achievement, Aaron.
Yes, yes.
You know, so, and not one to be sneezed at. That's kind of brilliant, really. So the plan moving forward is hopefully to gain some employment. But, I mean, you were doing some work on sea schemes and different things.
Yes, I was working with the CIL, St. Vincent de Living.
Yeah. So, so anybody who's thinking about living independently, getting their own place, you would give it a...
Definitely, I would say give it a shot.
Yeah.
Give it a go.
Yeah, even though there are a couple of trials and tribulations along the
yes.
way.
Yes.
Okay.
It's worth, if you stick at it, it's worth it in the end.
Okay, fantastic. Aaron, we're going to go to some music
okay.
and I'm going to come back to you in just a couple of minutes
okay.
time. And now we'll wrap things up then. Still with me in studio, I've got Aaron Abbey. Hello, Aaron.
Hello.
So, Aaron, how did it feel the first time you said your address to any person or that sales assistant?
The first time I said my address to the sales assistant when I was buying my goods,
Well, how was it like? Was it good?
Yeah, it was a good feeling. I gave it to him. Then he turned around to Mum and said, "Geez, Ma, this is the first time I gave that to anyone." I mean, just saying high five, you
know. I know.
It was a real good feeling.
And you know something? We were just totting up the years there. I was saying it took 5 years. It took four, Aaron, because you moved in November 2013.
Yes.
And that all kicked off in 2009.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's a serious achievement. So well done to you.
Thank
you. Know.
You.
Congratulations and much joy and happiness in your new apartment. And I look forward to any parties that you'll be holding in them. Okay. And I'll be expecting a royal
okay.
invitation. So, Aaron, thank you very much. And also thanks, Aaron. And sure, I'll talk to you again very soon. My thanks there to Aaron Abbey, and thank you as well to Paul Sherlock, who gave me support here in the studio today. And just to let you know, next week GDIL will be holding its monthly meeting in the Macro Centre on Green Street from 6:30 to 8:30, and we're going to be doing creative writing with Valerie Bow, who's a colleague of mine in Greater Dublin Independent Living. If you want more information about that, you can get it from myself on 086 067 9101. That's 086 067 9101. Of course, you can log on as well via our website, our Facebook page, and you can get in contact with Greater Dublin Independent Living via either of those mediums. It's been a fabulous show. I've really enjoyed it. The hour just flies by. I have no idea or concept where the time goes. Have a gorgeous Tuesday for the rest of the day, and I will speak to you again next Tuesday from 3:30 to 4:30 with lots of great more guests. And have a great week, because it's all magic.